Hello, and welcome to Two Fat Expats, the podcast about living a full, fat, and fantastic expat life. That surprised you, didn't it? No, you're not crazy. This is Nikki, and Kirsty is the voice that usually brings you the introduction and then guides you into the topic of the week and introduces me. But today we're mixing up a bit so we can get this last episode of season 3 out the door and to you as soon as possible. This podcast is proudly brought to you by the Shangri-La Hotel Group. Before the Northern Hemisphere summer started, we recorded an episode about your best holidays. Where was your favourite holiday and why did you like it so much? We recorded it, partially edited it, and then it sadly languished in the Slack communication channel editing room over the long, long summer, but not necessarily hot summer. Remembering that I'm in Northern Europe and Kirsty is in Australia where it's winter right now. But now we've resurrected it to get it out the door before we kick off season 4 in a couple of weeks. So as long as you remember that it was first recorded in early June, that'll give you a bit of a frame of reference about any random mentions you might think that sound out of date. That's because they are a little bit. So, your favourite trips, where were they and why? Let's get to the rest of the episode.
Anyway, Nikki, holidays. That's what we want to talk about today is we put a note out on Facebook on the 4 Kids 20 Suitcases Facebook page saying, where are the best holidays and what was your best holiday and why? We got some fantastic responses. What I haven't asked you, Nikki, is I'm, of course, going back to Australia because, you know, I'm catching up with the family. What are you doing?
Well, thank you for asking, Kirsty. No, we have not a lot of plans. We ended up making some piecemeal plans for the summer. During the last sort of 6 months, we've done a lot of traveling. Every school break, we've taken the opportunity to go to different places. And we kind of just left summer on the back burner. And then we had a couple of people contact us saying they were going to be in different parts of Europe at different times and did we want to catch up for a few days. So we accepted those invitations and then realized, well, if we do that, that's kind of, we don't sort of have a lot of time to put in a bigger sort of trip. So we've decided that that's what we're doing. We're just having some little things, and then the kids and I are going to do lots of exploring around the area. That's our plan. So do all the tourist things we didn't do at the beginning when we arrived.
Now, I need to tell you this too, Nikki. I've also organised for you to have some visitors.
Oh, excellent.
We had friends for dinner the other night and they mentioned that they were going travelling through Europe and they said, oh, we're going to Hamburg. Oh, well. And my girlfriend Tracy is actually a podcast listener and her and her 4 girls are travelling through Hamburg. So, yes, I must hook you up so you can meet my lovely friends.
Well, visitors are always welcome. We just had some visitors this week, which was amazing. We had my year 12 roommate from high school. So it was so nice to catch up with her and we really had a
fun. And where does she live?
She lives in Sydney, but her husband is from Cyprus originally. So they come every European summer and spend time in Cyprus. And then this time they're just taking some time out of their Cyprus time to do a bit of a Northern European trip to catch up with friends. So that was really cool. That was nice.
Nice. Okay, we'll get back to the community and where we've been told. So Sandra was telling us that the most relaxing, quiet, meditative and inspiring holiday she's ever had was in Laos. And she said in Luang Prabang.
That's very, I like the way you did that. Very confident with the pronunciation. I read once, if you don't know how to pronounce it, just sound very confident and keep going. So I'm about to do the same thing. Because Holly West told us that Mirissa in Sri Lanka was her favourite. A lot of people said Sri Lanka. Amazing beaches, good cheap food, snorkeling, whale watching and beautiful accommodations, photos, safaris, tea plantations and cultural sites. Now I know you've been to Sri Lanka, you're a big fan, right?
A huge fan, and I know exactly where she's talking about. Where we go is a place called Tulp Beach. So say you arrive in Colombo and then you head south down to, and it is completely escaping me. It'll come to me in a moment, the name of the sort of main town. But it's where they also play cricket. So all Australian blokes usually know where this town is because there's a cricket field. And anyway, there's also a beach called Unawatuna, which you'll quite often hear people talk about Unawatuna because it's such a great name. And then Yeah, Top Beach, and a little bit further down is Marissa. It is just beautiful. People talk about Sri Lanka being what Bali was in the 1970s.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have to agree, because it's, you know, quite often now in Bali, if you hit the beach, you'll be hassled, you know, because it's become such a tourist mecca. And, you know, there's always people that want to do things for you to sort of make money, whereas in Sri Lanka, there's really not that same hassle factor. Do you know, you can stay in a villa right on the beach, and you might occasionally have people come up and try and sell you seafood.
Yeah.
But really, there's not that same constant, and I'm sure it will change. But yeah, it's a just beautiful destination.
Excellent. So Jane O'Shea says India is her favourite. So for the food, people, culture, colour, chaos. Her family did an overnight camp in the desert in Rajasthan. And the kids say it was the best thing they ever did as a family. But she lists Tuscany, Italy as a close second.
Okay, so Lisa went to the Ice Hotel in Sweden, and I'm not even going to try and say where it was, but it starts with a J. Cooled during the summer months, also used solar power. So it goes for 365 days.
Oh,
lots of outdoor things to do. Yeah. Lots of outdoor things to do during winter and summer. Sounds gorgeous.
So Talani says Costa Rica is a good destination. Awesome diving, cloud and rainforest, active volcano, one of the best whitewater rafting experiences ever, and the longest zip line. Or at least the original longest zip line in the world. And I have heard Costa Rica, that's a place we didn't go when we lived in the US, but a lot of people did holiday there. And it does have all those things. So it's got beaches and rainforests. It's got really a lot of diversity in a very short, small area.
Are you a person that would choose beach over snow? Yeah, me too.
I was just thinking I could never go to the Ice Hotel when I live in Europe. I'd have to wait till I lived in like a really hot place. And
like the Middle East.
Or Singapore, and just say, I need to go somewhere cold.
Okay, so Cecilia said Batu Batu in Malaysia. She said if you want relaxation, beachy, chilled holiday, nothing to do but relax, swim, eat. And once again, another person, otherwise Italy for everything it has to offer. There you go.
Natalia Fisher, I know a lot of people in the state my friends had been to. The archipelago of islands called San Blas off Panama. Tiny and minimalist, but you can snorkel from the beach and swim to another deserted island. Your evening meal is the catch of the day, which often includes fresh lobster. An amazing hideaway. Well, probably not for me.
It is a beach
holiday, but I don't do seafood, so I'd have to have a little bit of a step up there.
Now, for all the people that were shouting at their podcast devices, Gaul, Gaul, it's Gaul in Sri Lanka. I just need to go back to my where was it in Sri Lanka. It suddenly came to me. So, yeah, you arrive in Colombo, hop on a bus, train, car, whatever, shuttle to Gaul, and then Gaul is on the beach and away you go. Okay, now this is a place I'm desperate to go to and should go to while we're still here, because it's not far from Kathmandu either, is Zanzibar. Beachside villa at Zanzibar White Sand Luxury Villas and Spa. I'm wondering if Marie has shares in the Zanzibar White Sand Luxury Villas and Spas, because she was very clear on that's exactly where we needed to stay. But she describes it as complete chill out time, spot for kite surfing and propping up the beachside bar. Oh, my God, that sounds good. Diving, high tea, dinner on the beach, wonderful African sunsets. She quoted another place called the Fumba Beach Lodge. But, yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, Zanzibar is amazing. When we lived in South Africa, I had loads of friends that had been there. And it was on our list, but we just didn't live there long enough, I guess. But it's close for you. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to listen to a few recordings. You've got these off of our SpeakPipe, right?
Yes,
which is on our website, and we keep telling people this every week. Someone told me the other day that they feel guilty every time I mention this, that they haven't left us a message But I'm just so amazed with this technology.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I just think it's the coolest thing in the world that we no longer have to type out questions or type out responses that you can just push a button and say, hey guys, I think this, this and this and this, or can you talk about this, this and this, or I really liked this, I think it's great. So if you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about, on the Two Fat Expats website and on Kirsty Rice Online, Four Kids, 20 Suitcases and a Beagle, we have a little microphone and you just press the microphone and you can leave a message. So, Nikki, how many have we got to listen to this first time?
Okay, so this first time we've got four recordings to listen to.
All right, so we'll just roll out the whole four because they're sort of 30 seconds or 50 seconds each, and then we'll come back. So we'll kick off with Anna from Sweden.
My name is Anna. I'm Swedish and I currently live in Sweden, but I'm moving with my husband, who is Swedish-Italian. Our two teenagers, our cat and our dog, to Sardinia, Italy, this summer. So my best holiday tip is definitely Sardinia, and that is for the wonderful food, the wine, the nature, the fantastic people, the ancient culture and traditions, farming, hiking, biking, the stunning mountains, and Europe's most amazing beaches.
Hi there, it's Zoe Wasserman, currently living in the Netherlands, but was in Saudi for nearly 4 years. We had a wedding to go to in Mozambique, and honestly, it was one of the best vacays we've ever taken. You know, we weren't there for work, we weren't there for business. It was just a proper holiday, which if you live in the Middle East, you know that trips out of the Middle East aren't necessarily holidays. Sometimes it's to go and see family, sometimes it's to do paperwork, but this was a proper holiday with a wedding thrown in, and it was such a lovely place. The happiest, friendliest people in the entire planet. I had to take three planes to get there, and since I'm scared of flying, yes, a very bad thing for an expat. When we left, my husband said, oh, I must get rid of the rest of the money. I was like, no, I'm coming back here. He says, even with the flying, I was like, yeah, this is the place I want to come back to. Stunning place. If you ever need to go somewhere and unwind, that's the place to go. And don't expect great Wi-Fi, but expect great food and great people.
Hi, this is Marie from New Zealand, living in Budapest, and I guess I travel a lot. Been so many great places, but one of my favourite holidays was 3 months in northern Pakistan in 2001 with my friend Vanessa. It was only supposed to be 3 weeks, but it was that good. We visited some stunningly beautiful locations and had some amazing experiences. Best of all were the people, gracious, friendly, and welcoming. 9/11 happened 6 weeks after we left, and the world became a colder, scarier place, and tourism in Pakistan all but dried up. I feel so privileged to have visited.
Louise, I'm an Australian living in Bahrain. My kids would say that the best holiday ever was Orlando. I would almost say Orlando. Theme parks in the morning, pool and chill in the afternoon, and an on-site outlet mall. But my two favourite experiences ever were Jebel Akhdar in Oman and Wadi Rum in Jordan. Both absolutely perfect.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing.
Aren't they so different and diverse, right? So everyone...
Yes! Oh, they were, I'm just blown away by it. So I don't even know where to start. Okay, so I haven't been to Sardinia. Have you been to Sardinia?
No, I haven't been to Sardinia, but I can now. I live in Europe, right?
Yeah. And didn't Zoe give Mozambique a great rap?
Yes, we used to go to Mozambique from South Africa. We could drive up and over the border. So you live in the desert, so this is probably very passé to you, but you know, you'd go to the border, and as soon as you cross the border from South Africa, the roads would finish and you'd be on sand tracks, so you'd like let your tires down and then just start driving. And it's like a totally different, it's amazing that the two countries are like right side by side, but they're just totally different.
Yeah Marie, who talked about Pakistan, oh my gosh, that just touched a real nerve for me. It's so true. You know, the world did change after 9/11. There's so many things that people did that they can no longer do now. And, yeah, you just...
It's so hard to imagine that, right? Like, why would you and a girlfriend go for 3 months to northern Pakistan? It just seems like it would never happen. But it used to happen, like, not that long ago.
That's right. Like, and, yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, I think... We were in Malaysia when 911 happened. Where were you living? Were you in Hong Kong?
No, we were still in Australia. That I was pregnant.
Right. But I can remember the bizarre thing for us is We had an Indonesian housekeeper, Yanti, gorgeous, gorgeous Yanti, and she came to live with us in Malaysia, and she was due to fly back to Indonesia on the day after of 9-1-1. And so we literally watched it sort of all unfold that night, got up in the morning and drove to the airport. And, you know, everything was shutting down and everything was going on, and they just had this recurring loop of watching, you know, planes fly into buildings. But, you know, even back then, you know, there still wasn't the security in place that we have now, you know. And I think about how it all changed that day, you know, our whole life of how we travel and the extra, you know, hour people now have to take to,
yeah, to be get on the airport. A flight. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, like, that everything is different, and the places we went to and the way we saw travelling and the way we thought about travelling, and everything changed that day. And, yeah, when she said she feels so grateful and she talked about the people, you just go, you know, we've all been robbed by those events, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, I identified with the Disney. I totally get it. That's our children too. Yes, it's so, you know, I think I've talked before. I'm a Disney tragic. I love Disney. I love how happy it makes my children. So, but we used to do the same thing. Go in the morning, do all morning, come back in the afternoon, swim, maybe have a lazy, you know, lay around. Little people that needed naps had naps, and then we would go back to Disneyland for, you know, because it had cooled down, and then you watched the fireworks and went home to bed. It was like the perfect, perfect holiday, and your kids were just so grateful the whole time. I have to go to Oman.
I know, everyone says about Oman, right? And you always say, oh, yes, people say about Oman.
Yeah, and I always say that expats who have lived in Oman are forever spoilt by it. You know, they begin all of their sentences with, well, when we were in Oman. It's like my friend Erica lived in Oman and absolutely loved it. And I have quite a few friends that have lived in Oman and never got past it. But, yeah, I need to go to Oman. Ironically, one of my children's been there, but I haven't. Okay, moving right along. Marina said Cancun. And, yes, if you've lived in North America, we see everybody go to Cancun. Amazing place, lots of fantastic trips, underwater caves, stunning beaches, good nightlife, fantastic hotels and food.
Nice, nice. Never went to Mexico. We did the Bahamas instead.
Yeah, well, Cancun always to me kind of felt like the Bali of Australia.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
We had to fly across, so we're on the other coast, so the Bahamas was kind of closer for us. All right, so Summer de la Roche says, we love Cape Town, South Africa. There is so much to do in the whole area. Safari, Table Mountain, Seal Island, Cape Point, shark cage diving, if you're into that, I guess. Beautiful beaches, and the wineries are amazing. The wineries are amazing, and Cape Town is one of the most beautiful cities in the world in summer.
Mr. Haberchat said Portugal, Vila Moura, is it? Perfect weather, great food, beaches, swimming pools, golf, lots of sightseeing. The coastline has to be seen to believed. Oh, God, that sounds good.
It's on my
good.
List, it's on my list, Portugal. I haven't been since I was a little kid. Okay, Melissa says Italy, history, culture, food, great fast trains between cities and welcoming of children. I'm very
so
happy.
So that's our
yes.
That's our third Italy. Yes. Ali says Vanuatu, gorgeous family holiday, great values, snorkeling, white sandy beaches, lovely people. And then she said Canada, skiing, because skiing.
And that's, Canada because skiing. I'm a fan of Canada because skiing. I like Whistler in the winter, but you just go, you do it, and then you leave.
Are you a skier?
I don't know that I'm a skier, but we don't go skiing every year or twice a year, but we go skiing every couple of years. Yeah, I don't know.
So you can ski, obviously.
I can ski. Well, the only reason I can ski is because when I was 16, I went and lived with my aunt and uncle in Canada for a winter, and I was required to learn to ski.
I went on a skiing – I did not ski as a child or teen, and I skied for the first time. I'm trying to think. I had had Henry, so I'd had my fourth child, so I must have been 37. So, turning 38. So I – went skiing as a virgin skier with my friend Kathy Parker. Everybody else we went to knew what they were doing. So we were off on the bunny slopes learning, and I was absolutely atrocious at it. I was shocked by how fast you have to go when you ski. It's not it looks like it's this leisurely, slow slide down the hill. It's not.
Well, that's because people
fast.
Think it that way. Yeah, well, so the funniest thing was, so when I was a young adult, when Sam and I think we were 22 or 23, we went to Canada to visit my aunt and uncle. We were on a bit of a trip overseas, and he had never skied before. And so we were going to take him skiing, and he was looking, and he said, "I don't understand. Like, how do people get out of control with speed? Like, surely if you're going too fast, you just sit down and and then you stop." He said, "I don't understand how people smash into trees and hurt themselves." I was like, "Oh, we're all just looking at each other." So my aunt and uncle have three boys, and we're all just looking at each other going, "Okay, let's see how this goes." So after the next day, he was like, "Okay, I'm getting it now. I understand.
Well, I have to say, Kathy, I was fine on those little bunny slopes, and then we I'm going to crap myself up just thinking about it. But we then hit the slopes. Well, I fell off the chairlift on dismount every single time. So every time we would get the chairlift to the top. And I like to think of myself as being reasonably coordinated. Do you know, yeah. I can ski on water. I played netball. I played a lot of sports as a kid. But skiing just was beyond me for some reason. And I was so infuriating to the ski instructor because I was up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down all the time. But also just laughing. I have never laughed so uncontrollably without the assistance of alcohol so much. Like I seriously would wet my pants every day laughing in my ski suit because it would just be, I looked so ridiculous. It was as so ridiculous. Just, I remember actually in a fetal position at the top of a mountain saying to the lady, "You're going to have to get a chopper. You're going to have to get a chopper," because I just thought, I'm never, ever going to get down this mountain. This is never going to get any better.
Well, both of us aren't really huge skiers, but just to extend the ski conversation slightly, we went skiing for our honeymoon because as soon as Sam started skiing as an adult, he was a big fan. And he's one of those, you have to be on the first lift of the day and you have to be on the last lift of the day. You just have to ski.
Oh, sounds like fun. See in the bar, Sam.
We were so exhausted. We would go and get into the spa in our bedroom and we wouldn't even go out. It was hilarious. Anyway, we're on the last run of the day because we had to do one more run. And I came off the end of the chairlift, as you said, dismount. But I came off. But somehow there was this big pile of snow and I just went head first into this pile of snow and my skis went up behind me and my legs were so sore because it's the third or fourth day, you know how sore your legs get. Yeah. And my skin didn't disconnect from my boot, so it was pulling my leg back and my muscles were screaming and I was screaming in pain. And Sam was so embarrassed, he didn't help me. He's just like, "Get up, get up."
Oh, God. I have to go back and try it again, but I'm now even less fit and fatter, so it's probably not a good idea. Okay, moving right along. Where are we up to? We're up to Sheena, who went to Mulu for a short weekend break. Beautiful, away from everything, natural wonder of the world. Nikki, I know I've asked you this before, but where is Mulu?
Yes, well, I had to Google it as well. It says it's in Malaysia, in Sarawak.
Ah,
so you lived in Malaysia? Nice. Hello.
I did. Can't remember Mulu. Sounds like a tech app of some sort.
It does.
That's
going to be named. Yeah, that's going to come. Barbara Vick says Isla Pascua, which is Easter Island in Chile, which is obviously not another Easter Island. Absolutely unlike any place I have been. The Moai are impressive. The pace is slow and relaxed, and the tuna Shavish is the best I have had in the world. Sounds like a big
seafood destination. Now, I never get that word right. That Shavish. I always say ceviche. Is it not?
That could or also be true. And I've just outed myself in front of 30 people who are listening. I know how to say quinoa, but I don't know how to say that word because I always associate it with seafood and I don't eat seafood.
You know what? We need to Google that, not to know how to say it, but just what it is, because I thought it was kind of chopped up kind of salad, if that makes sense.
Oh, really? Well, see, whenever I see it, it usually has a food. Okay, it's a seafood dish. Popular in
it is. It's raw seafood. Yeah,
there you go.
Ah, there you go.
It's raw seafood without the rice, so it's not sushi.
All right. And how do we say ceviche or ceviche?
Do we need to go to a dictionary? A pronunciation. There we go. Google that. It's pronounced ceviche. So I said it wrong.
Ceviche.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, going right along. Trudy says, Botswana, breathtakingly beautiful animals, luxurious accommodation with a family of hippos waking us up in the morning and warthogs grunting at night. Also spent a morning watching wild dogs. Such a rare treat. Yeah, that sounds good.
And that's so funny because I had a friend and when I don't know if I ever told you, Kirsty, that I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
I believe you did. I think you may have even written a blog about it.
I like to drop that into my conversation every so often. Anyway, I climbed it with a friend and from Hong Kong, and we went afterwards on a safari, and we went to a park that had wild dogs, which are really, really rare to see them, and they're sort of endangered and everything. Anyway, my friend was so unimpressed. She's like, they just look like dogs. And she's like, where are the giraffes? I'm like, no, giraffes are not endangered. Like, this is like, and we saw this whole group of wild dogs and they had puppies and we stopped for like 20 minutes to watch them. And she's like, okay, yeah, give me a line, people. Give me a line. But wild dogs are very a treat to watch in the wild. That's true. Yes.
Are they like dingoes?
Yes. They're not like their colouring isn't, but their sort of stature is like dingoes. Yes.
All right. So we also had a few other suggestions. One was Hawaii, where they said so many rainbows, kids learnt how to surf, brilliant shopping at a largest open air mall. And they got to sit next to Obama in a restaurant, which I'm sure would happen to everybody when they go to Hawaii.
Because he's always there.
Yes. The other one was Mallorca. And I had to go and look it up in Spain for lazy days at the beach, gorgeous walks of the mountains, always accompanied by tinkling goat bells and beautiful sunsets. And then also someone else suggested the Hamptons. Hired a house on the beach, went with our friends. It was just like the movies. All of those sound good to me.
Nikki Huey suggests Vietnam. Hoi An for local street culture and beaches. Sapa Valley for rural beauty and the most memorable sleeper train journey to get there and back. Hanoi for bustling city life. A country still hugely misunderstood by older generations who only think of the Vietnam War when you mention. It's a beautiful country which welcomes tourists. And hear, hear to that. Have you done Vietnam? Have you been to Vietnam?
No, I haven't.
I've been to all those places. Very pretty. Do like it.
Yeah. Okay, so we also had another Costa Rica, which we've already done, but there was Siberia. There's a first, an organized trip. This was from Sarah Prunster. She said, an organized trip, a day of snowmobiling over the frozen lake, 5 hours in a hovercraft to an island where we stayed overnight, and then day driving on the ice highways of the lake. Different, amazing, cold, stunning. And then Heather jumped in and said that it was also stunning in the summer. She said, Lake Baikal, you just get boats instead of ice roads.
Oh, yeah, I'm for summer.
But Siberia, I mean...
Yeah, it's not somewhere where you typically think of, is it?
No.
Jo Gray said she recently visited the Maldives and had an incredible time. They stayed somewhere with an amazing kids club. It's the first time since becoming parents that they really felt relaxed and like they holidayed. And that's one of the things. Is it about like the time of your life that you have the holiday? Is it because, you know, this is a good holiday because you have little kids and that is well looked after? Or is it just about the best holiday ever?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I have friends that are big boat cruise people. Like they go on those, well, they're not boat ships, I guess, like ship cruises. And their whole thing about it is they just love the sit back and relax. And I think they both work full time and they just love the idea of food, fun, you know, just not having to do anything. That I think they get completely exhausted just by the idea of going off and doing some of those adventure holidays or more sort of intrepid holidays. So it really depends what stage you're at. I mean, I remember having four children sort of under six and I couldn't have thought of anything worse than having to rug them up and go from this place to that place to this place to that place. And it's really what stage of your life you're at. I mean, I've really realised this trip home because, you know, once we bought the house in Australia, we tended to go back to Australia most holidays, which I know to other people horrifies them. And you and I have spoken about this, Nikki, before, you know. Yeah. Other people are like, oh, well, you know, you should be doing and seeing and whatever. But I have enough memories of that other stuff with my little children. And now that we're separated and have, you know, the family is separated and we have one child in Australia, it's like this Friday night for me is going to be phenomenal. Now, I'm not going anywhere exciting. I'm going to be back in Australia. I don't have a house to go to. We'll be in a serviced apartment. But my entire family is going to be together again. And
So you're looking for different things.
Yeah, and I'm more excited about that than I would be if just a few of us were going to the Maldives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally get it.
Yeah. So Carolyn said New Zealand. Amazing scenery, fresh air, lovely wine. Cambodia. Oh, she's got lots of suggestions. Cambodia, Siem Reap, fascinating, lovely people, great food. She said Japan. We had quite a few people said Japan, didn't we?
Yeah.
China was surprising. Beijing and Xi'an, both incredible places with so much more to see. Easy to think to get around, even with small children. Now, Nikki, having been to Beijing, I'd have to totally agree with that. That Chinese have got their fast trains completely sorted. Borneo, fabulous hotels, and another Vietnam as well from her.
Yes. Alex is another Sri Lankan, and so she voted for Sri Lanka, she voted for Cambodia and Japan. So she's they're well thought of places, those three.
Yeah, Nova said Hawaii. Kelly said do a Disney cruise. Well, there you go. That's doing the Disney theme and the Disney cruise. Ship was amazing. World-class Disney shows every night. Meet the characters without the lines. Stephanie said it's a hard question to answer. Depends on whether you're with or without kids, blah, blah, you know, indoors, outdoors, food, blah, blah, blah. But she said South Africa, safari, driving, winelands, wildlife. I have to say, you'd have to include Australia in that. I'm just wondering, Nikki, nobody, no one's put Australia. Nobody has said Australia.
Well, I have to say South Africa, having lived there, and I do know Stephanie, she's an American who lives in Durban in South Africa. South Africa has all the things Australia has, but it also has the safaris.
Yes.
So I think that that's an extra, and it's Africa, which is sort of a little bit, you know, exciting. But Australia, yes. Look, I think maybe a lot of these people are Australian and they just didn't include Australia because it's such an awesome place and they go there all the time.
But it's also very hard to do in a short trip because it's so mammoth. So, I mean, I know just where I live, where our beach house is, we have 71 wineries in a 30-minute radius. McLaren Vale. And the beautiful Fleurieu Peninsula. That's only one tiny region for our wines, right? In South Australia, you've also got the Barossa, you've got the Clare Valley as well. So, you know, then you'd have people in Western Australia telling you needed to go to Margaret River, you'd have people in New South Wales telling you that their wine, then you'd have the Victorians telling you that you needed to go to their district, so in the Yarra Valley. So I think Australia's hard because do you have that when people say to you, where should you go? And you,
yeah, because it's big as well. There's a lot of space between places. It's not like some of the other countries where it's quite short. Like if you want to fly from, you know, one side to the other, it's quite a big thing. It's like saying, where should we go in America? Like you can't do the whole thing. Yeah,
and it really, I would say, you know, if you're going to Australia, go to Queensland for the summer beaches, relaxed, you know, Aussie style. But then you've got to go to Sydney and you've got to see Bondi Beach and you've got to see the harbour. But then if you want to see a different part, go to Melbourne for the food and that sort of grey London culture. I don't think there's anything better than going to the footy in Melbourne and rugging up and the food and all the little alleyways and that sort of culture. So, yeah, it's, you can't do it in a week.
No, you can't. So I think now we're going to listen to some more people from who sent in their messages on SpeakPipe. So I think there's going to be four more now, and there might be a tricky two-in-one here because they said the same place.
Ah, very clever. Starting with Ruth. Okay.
I'm Ruth and I live in Qatar. And I think the best holiday destinations are Kyoto and Hiroshima in Japan, if you go on a tour, as they're beautiful and moving. Plus, they have wonderful food. I also think Las Vegas, because it's such fun, though it is a bit cheesy, but the food's fabulous. Bye.
This is Jen, and I live in Doha. Just thinking about ideal holiday destinations, for us, it's Thailand every time. You've got the weather, you've got the scenery, you've got the culture, you've got friendly, smiley people, ease of travel, good value for money, food, everything. Perfect for us and perfect for the children to relax in, and only 6 hours flight from Doha.
My name's Anne, I live in Qatar. I think the best place you can go for a holiday is Kenya. Amazing wildlife, beautiful scenery, friendly people. And if you go for a bit of a glamping in Masai Mara, you'll also get away from modern life for a while. It's nice to have that break.
Okay, so why Kenya? Living in the Middle East is wonderful, but I think it distorts your reality of what life is really like. A week in, or 10 days in Kenya was phenomenal. The greenery, getting back in touch with nature. The animals are absolutely phenomenal. The smells of the bush, the sounds, it's fantastic. Above all of that, the people are friendly, they are kind, they are welcoming, they desperately need the tourism. And even better than that is it was a week without Wi-Fi. So it's a week of reconnecting with your family. It's a week of playing games, discussing things around the dinner table. Can highly recommend it to anybody. It just puts you back in touch with nature and reality. You see people living their day-to-day lives, they're farming, and they're happy. They don't all have TV, they don't have the luxuries that we all have here, but they are happy, wonderful people. Guys, go to Kenya. Absolutely phenomenal.
Hello ladies, it's Marnie from Singapore here. Our favourite holiday destination. It is of course very hard to narrow down when we've had such an opportunity to see so many wonderful places. Our highlight is Iceland. Last year for my husband's 40th birthday, 2 weeks in a camper van, travelling around with our children who were 7 and 5 at the time. There was only 3 hours of darkness, so that meant lots of really long days of travel, so much outside time, so many fun things to see, mountains to climb, rocks to climb, waterfalls to splash in, glaciers to ride on, husky dog rides, volcanoes to explore, all these really awesome things. Very different from our life here in Singapore. Lots of beautiful photos, lots of drone footage, and just lots of really awesome family time. Delicious food, card games in the van while we stopped for lunch. So many great memories that are now canvases on our wall, so we can relive them whenever we want to.
Oh, I love that. So many canvases on our wall so we can relive them. That's fantastic. Love Marnie. Hello, Marnie. How are you? I met Marnie in Singapore. Gorgeous Marnie.
My husband listened to that and he said, oh, my God, it sounds like my worst nightmare. Being in a camper van with two small children.
I think it sounds fantastic. We used to do that when I was kids, go in a caravan and play, you know, 50 games of Old Maid with, you know, all four of us all huddled up. It was beautiful. Kenya. Anne made me want to go to Kenya, or Kenya, as some people say. Have you been?
I did not, only to the airport when I was flying on my way to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I don't know if I've mentioned that before.
Fantastic.
But Thailand, I'm a big fan. Jen in Doha, I'm a big fan of Thailand. One of some of my best holidays have been in Thailand as well. So, yes.
Oh, well, that was excellent. I know we've done this sort of episode before of best holidays, but we had some new ones this time, and even better now that we've got SpeakPipe, people can tell us themselves what they think rather than us nattering on. But, yeah, loved it. Okay, so, Nikki, for the podcast, usually this is about the time when we talk about what we've been listening to, what we've been reading, what we've seen on social media, you know, what we'd like to, what we've been watching. But I was thinking, as we're about to embark on our holidays for the summer, that maybe we could talk about what we're planning on listening to and reading and watching. And I am heading off to Australia on Wednesday night. I'm going to be working all these holidays, unfortunately, just a few hours a day. And hopefully, Nikki, you and I are going to get to work on some other projects while we stop the podcast for a while so we can focus on some other stuff.
Yeah, we should say that this is the last podcast before the Two Fat Expats summer break.
Yes. And maybe someone said to me yesterday, you can't stop over the summer, but maybe we might squeeze in a cheeky episode somewhere in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, and I thought we might do some best of, so I might do a few compilations just to put them out there.
That's favorite a nice bit. Idea. Yeah.
So we might ask people what their favorite episodes were and then sort of do the best parts of that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Got some other plans where we thought we might ask people about what they think about the podcast, because we only know the people that give us direct feedback, like my brother, who's an avid listener and always dialing it in. But he's not really our target audience, so, you know.
So I am planning on, when I get home, to watch a lot of football. Not that I don't already watch a lot of football, but I might get to watch a bit more live. But one of the things we were watching over the weekend was a series called The Fall. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so we were watching it on Netflix, and there's three seasons of The Fall, and we binge watched season one. We had we've done this twice before with our family, where we basically bunker in for the day. All food comes out of a packet and we don't move from the couch. We did it when we watched Stranger Things, which was hysterical because we were all located in different parts of the lounge room, and by the last episode we were all on the couch huddled up together hugging each other in fear. But so this time we decided we wanted to do like a bit of a murder mystery, and The Fall is based in Belfast. It has Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, I have seen an episode of that,
And just loved it. The only thing I want to say, though, is if you're someone that wants to get the reward of watching five, you know, hour-long episodes and find out what the outcome is, this is not the show for you, because we watched it, you know, hanging in, waiting for, you know, okay, well, how's this all going to play out? You know who the killer is, you know who's investigating, you're just waiting for them to sort of come together and her to discover him, but it doesn't happen. And so now we're completely locked in for season two because we want to see what happens next. But yes, that's what we'll be watching. I also did watch last week the OJ story.
Have you seen
that one?
No, I haven't, actually. For someone who, I'm such a true crime fan in my podcast listening, but I'm not such a true crime
TV. Yeah. Well, there's the Kardashian factor with the OJ story, yeah. right? Because this was when nobody knew who the Kardashians were. And Rob Kardashian, of course, was a lawyer for OJ and had been a friend of his. And Chris Kardashian was a very good friend of Nicole's. Yeah, look, I thought it was really well done. I had sort of stayed away from it because I hadn't really heard that much about it. And so just assumed it wasn't very good. Do you know, like if you don't hear people raving about it, you think, oh, well, must have been too great. But it was a good reminder for how much that trial impacted America at the time and how people just stood still, you know, to watch him. I hadn't realised it when he did the Bronco chase down the highway that it was in the middle of an NBA final. So they stopped the final to watch him in the Bronco. And I think, you know, that's how it sort of triggered so much right from the start, is so many eyes were on TVs anyway. But, yeah, it was just really, really interesting to see how it was so much about the race card, how there were two black prosecutors on either side and how it affected them and their lives. And Marsha... is she Marsha Gray, the woman who was in charge? Yeah, just it. I had read beforehand that she had said that the trial had completely ruined her life at the time, and the pressure she was under and the discussions it's horrendous what she went through.
Yeah, absolutely. I've read about that too. Yeah. Yeah, you make it sound interesting. Maybe I will watch it.
Yeah. So what about you? Any plans on anything you'd like to watch?
Well, I don't have because we don't have TV and I feel like I've exhausted my Netflix at the moment. So I don't. The watching I'm a little bit out of. The listening though, I've just listened this week to a new podcast called Ear Hustle. Have you heard about that?
No.
So Ear Hustle is a podcast that is created, recorded and produced inside San Quentin State Prison. By two inmates who are serving various sentences, one serving 31 years to life and the other one serving 15 years. And Nigel Poor, who is an artist, and despite her name is Nigel, she's a woman, who works in the media centre with the prisoners. And Ear Hustle is prison slang for eavesdropping. So if you listen to the teaser episode is excellent. It's like, oh, I can't wait to hear this. It's really, really good. And it's quite interesting because the authorities have to approve every episode. So at the end of each episode, you hear the prison officer responsible saying, I am so-and-so and so-and-so, and I approve this episode. So it's really interesting. So it's talking about life inside prison and they're doing it from the point of view of how it's everyday life, but you're doing it inside prison. So the first full episode was about cellies, which are cellmates, and what happens with a cellmate and how big a cell is. A cell is 9 foot by 4 foot.
God.
It has two beds. Yeah, it's tiny. It's just incredible to think. So they say you can put your arm on one wall and the other wall. Like 4 feet is not,
not
very wide. Yeah. And so it talks about how important it is to be able to get along with your cellmate. You know, you don't want to be lying awake all night, or you don't want a cellmate with bad habits or all this kind of stuff. So it's really quite interesting. So I quite enjoyed it. So that's called Ear Hustle. And the other podcast I listened to this week, and I'm giving away my crime bent, but it's 74 Seconds. And this is produced by Minnesota Public Radio. And it's about the trial that just happened last week where Geronimo Yanez, who is a police officer, shot Philando Castile during a traffic stop. And I don't know if you remember, but his girlfriend immediately went on Facebook Live. So while he was still in the car.
It
was 74 seconds between when the police officer pulled the car over and when he was shot seven times. And so the podcast is a 4-episode podcast of deep background. So it looks at the police officer, it looks at the guy who was shot, it looks at sort of what the case will be. And then over the last 2 weeks, they've had the actual case. So it was pretty good timing, the release. Obviously, it was time to do that. So every couple of days, they had an update of actually what was happening in court and what the case watch was, which was very interesting after listening to sort of the background that they did on it. He was found not guilty and acquitted, and now there's some sort of repercussions from that going on. But it's really good because it really, the first four episodes are really good. It's just very interesting, that's all I'll say, if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, that does sound really good. Hey, are you, and I'm guessing you would be, but are you a listener of the United States of Anxiety?
No, but it sounds like I should be.
Yes, because I thought when I heard about this, I thought, oh, I bet you Nikki's onto this. It's a WNYC Studios podcast, you know, and they do Radio Lab and Death, Sex and Money and Freakonomics and Note to Self and many others that we've talked about. But this one is sort of a culture, American political culture sort of podcast, and it's one of the ones on my list of what I want to start listening to. I've had a couple of people recommend it. The other one I've had is Nerdette. Have you heard of that
one? Yes, I have, and it's actually on my list as well.
So yes. So I'm going to do that. And I think there's an episode with Roxane Gay, who, of course, yes. I wonder if this really has travelled the world as much. I mean, it's a big, big deal in Australia. And for those who wonder what I'm talking about, I'll just quickly explain. So Roxane Gay, feminist writer, wrote a book called Bad Feminists a few years ago. You know, you quite often see her on talk shows, and she's an amazing mind and brain and fantastic speaker. But she was interviewed on another podcast that we've talked about before in the past with Mia Friedman called No Filter. And there was a huge to-do, wasn't there, Nikki, in Australia last week? Yeah. What did you think of all that? So just quickly before I asked you what you thought, then I just realised I haven't explained it to people. So when she was on Mia's podcast, and I'm sure it probably wasn't even Mia, it was one of Mia's staff, but wrote a blurb about Roxane being on the show, and they discussed conversations that had allegedly happened with Roxane's producer. And Roxane's producer had allegedly asked, you know, how many steps does she have to take to get into the recording studio? You know, will there be a lift, you know, that's big enough for her? Because Roxane Gay is 6'3". And is she 6'3"? I think
she is 6'3".
Yeah. And obese. But Mia had sort of told all those details and talked about it, and it's an interesting one in that Roxane's book is called Hunger. It's all about her size, her weight, and sort of why she is the weight she is and what it's like to move through life because of her weight. Did you listen to the interview itself?
I actually didn't, because I saw all the controversy around it, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to see how this plays out, and I'll listen to it later. And I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But I don't know if they changed the podcast or not.
No.
But they certainly changed the show notes on about it. Mm. And Mia also issued a full apology.
Yes, because Roxane Gay read the show notes and the blurb about her and was incredibly offended and hurt. And she tweeted her dismay and disgust, basically. And once she tweeted her dismay and disgust, everybody jumped on board and gave their opinions. And, yeah, Mia sort of just disappeared for a few days, didn't she? And she released an apology, but you didn't sort of see her.
No, and it's interesting because Mia is quite a polarising figure. People have strong ideas about her, and I'm not quite sure why that is. They seem to be stronger than any kind of other media personality. I don't know whether it's because of the way she founded her company or I'm just not sure, but people seem to have much stronger views and opinions about her that are incredibly polarising than other media figures in Australia. Do you find that?
Absolutely. And my thing, Nikki, that I find, because I think you and I don't need to talk about whether what she did was right or wrong with Roxane Gay, right? That's been discussed to the nth degree. But what I find really fascinating is the pile-on that happened with Mia. So women do seem to have this completely vitriolic response to her. And so every time something like this happens, because it does happen regularly, she seems to offend regularly, whether she's, you know, she is so, and this is what's fascinating about her, is she, I would think, is a big supporter of gay marriage and human rights, but in a sentence on television one night put the words pedophile and gay in sort of the same sentence when she was talking about sexual choices, and you know, people went bananas. And people go bananas because, like you said, with her company starting, she had a lot of interns that she didn't pay, and so people see it as exploitation. But the one thing people seem to constantly bring up is the fact that she comes from an incredibly wealthy family. She was educated at a private all-girls school where she would have been surrounded by other, sort of the elite, I guess, in Sydney, and that, you know, people bring that sort of stuff, that whole poor little rich girl, you know, entitled, sort of thing. Yeah,
which is not necessarily, I mean, do people pile on Lachlan Murdoch and James Packer in the same way? I don't necessarily think so. I think it's one of these things where sometimes I disagree with things that she does, but I don't think it's worth necessarily the amount of hate that she gets from it. I think the other thing also, she lives her life so, as we would, as people say these days, authentically, in that she sort of puts it all out there.
Yes.
You know, in her book, recent book, she's talked about, which I haven't read, but she's talked about all sorts of things. She had a marriage breakdown, although she's still married to the same guy. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a baby very young. You know, she talked about all sorts of things on her Instagram. She has a thing called Confronting Stomach, where she takes photos of her stomach, you know, without mm-hmm. clothes on it, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So she lives this life which kind of puts herself out there, and then I guess people think that that's okay then, because she's doing that, then you can sort of go back.
I love her confronting stomach, because yeah. the reason her confronting stomach exists is because someone saw it and wrote in the press that they found it confronting. Now, she's tiny. Do you know? She's like, Nikki, yeah. you and I both look like we could eat Mia Friedman for breakfast. And she's tiny, and there's this person saying, oh, I found her stomach quite confronting. And so she takes photos constantly of her stomach, and she is an ambassador, or I think she heads up, doesn't she, the body image group in Australia. And
but because she has herself had eating disorders, right?
Yeah. But it's the pile on that I'm really, really, I was going to say ashamed. And I think it's because it's a women's issue, this issue.
No, it's women taking down women all the time.
And, you know, last week, Nikki, I was talking about how I listened to the podcast with the three blokes and the plumbers and the tradies all ring up and whatever. It suddenly all made sense to me why. And it is because I obviously love women and women's friendships, and I have a community of, you know, 11,000 women within the Four Kids 20 Suitcases page that I adore, because there's never any of that crap. Do you know, there's never anyone having a go at anyone else. It's always really, you know, really good in what people are doing for each other. You know, you look at the episode we've just done, and everyone jumps in and offers ideas and talks to each other, and it's all really friendly. But this sort of thing where women just cannot, they just seem like they cannot wait to jump in and tear someone down. And I think that's another reason why I'm doing the, you know, 10 hours a week of blokey nothing froth, because I love that, because men can pay each other out and not get nasty like that.
Yeah, not take offence.
And I hate saying that, because I know that there are going to be a bunch of women who I'm friends with who are going to say, Kirstie, that's terrible that you said that, that you've divided men and women, and that you've explained women that way. But I don't know. I just think this last week proved that, you know, women are bloody terrible at this stuff.
And I think it presents in everything and every way. You know, people talk about it in terms of elections. So women are always nasty or bitches or all that kind of stuff. Politicians, strong yes. women. You know, they're always seen in a different way than men. Just different words that are used. And I just think we haven't got there yet.
Yeah. So how do we change that? And I was thinking, you know, how do you do it? And I really think it's that you just... you play the game, you don't play the man, you know, that expression in football about play the ball, don't play the man. And I think there you can have a conversation about, I really didn't agree when she said this, but I thought this, rather than just automatically going to your default position of she's just a whiny little rich girl who, you know, lives in first world problems and whatever. And it's this whole thing where women say, oh, I stopped reading her years ago. I stopped listening to her years ago. You know, well, you're talking about her now.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I don't read Mamma Mia, but I really enjoy a lot of the Mamma Mia podcasts, and I listen to No Filter a lot. So I'm sorry, I can't jump on that train. I have to say that I still listen to it.
Okay, so for me, for reading this summer, I have just downloaded We Are Never Meeting in Real Life. I decided I needed a little bit of fun and something that I could pick up and put down. And so it's a book of essays, and it promised me that I'm going to LOL for real. So the author is Samantha Irby, who has a blog called Bitches Gotta Eat, and she, I believe, worked full-time at an animal hospital, and her memoir is called Meaty and is supposedly in TV development at the moment. But this book of essays is called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life, and it's all different pieces of her, one of which I heard was an application of her to be a contestant on The Bachelorette, which I thought was good, and like a few life lessons that she'd learnt working in an animal hospital. So I'm looking forward to it. So that's what I'm going to read. Have you got any reading plans? I know you're more an audio
listener. So I've just checked my Audible to see what I've got that I haven't listened to, and one of them is Unfinished Business by Anne-Marie Slaughter.
Yes.
So I'm definitely going to listen to that. The other one is Hillbilly Elegy, which I bought my husband for Christmas, and he's finished, so I'm now allowed to look at it.
Yes.
I did have it before, but I haven't read it. And the last one is, and I don't know whether I'm going to do it, is A Little Life. And that's hugely controversial. People, you know, I've listened to some of it, but I haven't listened to all of it.
Yeah, I've heard.
So people, actually it's a bit of a challenge. So I had a friend on Facebook say, oh, this is just a question for my sort of literary friends. You know, what do you think about this A Little Life? I was like, oh, I'm a literary friend if I haven't read it.
One other podcast that I've downloaded that I want to listen to as well, and that's called Call Your Girlfriend. Have you tried it?
I have tried it, and I did like it, but it's not something I go back to every week.
Right.
So yeah. I'll be interested to hear your feedback.
Yes. Well, that's why it's good, isn't it? Because if you don't go back, it tends to be because you think it's a bit boring.
but things aren't, you know, different things are boring to different people. So it just depends. I think I didn't get into it. I remember being very excited about listening to it because I heard someone recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of listened to a few episodes, and it's just not one of those ones I go back to every week. You know, it's not one of the ones you scroll, look for, you know, refresh.
Yeah. Whereas Chats 10 looks 3 different.
Absolutely.
One. Now, Nikki, now that you are the podcaster editor extraordinaire, have you noticed some, and I hate saying this because I love Chats 10 Looks 3, and one of the things I love about it is that they don't do any fancy broadcasting, but have you noticed some really bad editing in there lately?
I don't want to say because it's my favourite podcast.
Yeah.
And I bow down to Lee Sales and Annabelle Crabb and to Brenda, who's the producer.
But have you Love noticed you, there's a few times where you can tell, and I wonder if you would only pick this up if you have your own podcast too, that where you stop and start again because you're like, oh shit, stuff that up, I'll just start this sentence again. But yeah, I have noticed in the last couple of episodes, oh, Annabelle started that sentence 3 times. Was those last 2 sentences meant to be cut out?
But I also think is that the way they do it is so clever, and you usually can't tell. Like, I just go, wow, they just did that in 45 minutes, no editing. you often think that when you listen to it. But yes, there are a couple of little sneaks. But I did love the one recently, which is not their latest one, which I have to listen to, but the one about the first episode of The Americans, because it makes me laugh, because for ages Lee Sales wanted Annabelle to listen to watch The Americans and couldn't get her to.
I had to fast forward my way all through that because I haven't watched The Americans. Yeah, and I'm sure I will, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to fast forward all the way through this. And it was quite funny because, you know, when you fast forward on your podcast thing, you always get a snippet. So it'd be like, and then they got a Vietnamese child, whoop, and then they were dressed as pilots, and then, whoops, yeah. Okay, so have we got any messages on SpeakPipe or?
We didn't have any messages on SpeakPipe, but we did have a follow-up from Judith. So last week we listened to Judith's message on SpeakPipe, and she said she was playing catch-up and listening to some episodes, and she'd come across the Study Buddies one. So when I posted the most recent episode on the Two Fat Expats page, she said, oh, hi, it's Judith in Dubai. I'm up to date and I'm listening to before 2019. Yay. So yay. Thanks, Judith. Sadly, now you're up to date. We're about to cut you off for the summer.
Oh dear. Okay, well, I'm going to get moving. Nikki, we
got
will...
some packing to do.
Oh yeah, but you know me, I'm not going to do that until an hour before we go. I reckon last time I started packing at 5 p.m. and I was leaving for the airport at 7. But yes, we might do a little bit of packing. My second child, who's currently nearby and grinning at me, has, because she's waiting for me to take her to the shops, she has started packing, which is all a bit sad because...
Oh, because she's packing big bags.
Yes, 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 yes. So
we'll have to talk about that at the end of summer. But yeah, as you said, we might...
We'll do a sneaky summer. Yeah, we might. Yes. We'll definitely do a little sneaky summer episode, a sneaky summer catch up, maybe.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Nikki, I'm going to get rolling. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.